Well, amen. I don't know about anybody else tonight, but I'm telling you, the message last night wore me out. I'm not talking about wore out physically. I'm talking about I had a hard time going to sleep, up and down all night. Every time I'd wake up, that message was burning in my soul because of the weightiness of it. Just the fact that it addressed the need. I don't know but what the rest of this camp this week may be hinging on what was done or will be done with that. Amen. Our churches, I was talking to Miss Jenny actually today. We were talking about it and talking about Jarvis today. Our churches, I know for the most part, are lacking those spiritual, spirit-filled, elderly people. They're lacking. I mean, where are those godly grannies? I'm talking about the old-time prayer warriors. I'm talking about those old-timey grannies that would walk with God and weep and worship. Amen. It shouldn't be no surprise that the younger ones are lacking in the area of worship because they don't have too many examples to look at. I'm not kidding. That message weighed heavy on me last night. And all day. I mean, I was even starting to wonder, Lord, are you wanting me to go back there again tonight? That's how weighty and heavy and a burden it was on my heart, even after I delivered. You know, you men of God knows it. Most time you have that weight and burden until you, when you preach it, that burden's gone. You've put it off on the people, but oh my goodness. It was just as heavy. In fact, I think it was more heavy after the service and through the night and today. I mean, I really didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't really know how to process it. And I don't believe God would be working in that depth in my heart before, during, and after preaching it if he wasn't planning and intending on it to do something deep and lasting in some people. I don't know if there was any grannies done any business with the Lord last night, but if you didn't, you missed a golden hand-delivered opportunity from God, a hand-delivered invitation from God. Amen. You'll never find it God's will for you to get on up in the years and then you just sit down and become an observation critic. There ain't a thing spiritual about that. The Holy Ghost has zero to do with that. Amen. God wants you to be an influence and an example. Amen. A sweet-spirited granny, a sweet-spirited elderly saint, amen, that would attract the attention of the younger ones. That's exactly right. That healthy doctrine supposed to be in the church, which would make us living a spiritual, healthy life. Carnality's not healthy. In fact, the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. They that are in the flesh, they that are after the flesh cannot please God. Or they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8 and verse 8. And I thought about the word when Brother Clifford was up here a few minutes ago, and what he was saying, I thought, the world is sick. They should look at the church with envy. Yes, sir. We ought to be living healthy, spiritual lives to where the world would look at us with envy. And Brother Melton, our young people in our church, the young men and young women and the children that was mentioned in that text, that they would look at the church with envy rather than looking out the church window with envy. The Barner Group is a polling group. They ain't a church group. And they made a poll of church young people. And they come to the conclusion of their poll that 88% of young people raised in churches like sitting in this building tonight, when they reach 18 years old, will leave church and never come back. Now, I'm going to tell you what that is. I'm going to tell you what that is. They've been in our church and observed the fussing and the criticism and the people that once professed that they was walking with God only to quit in their later years, or a circumstance happened and they quit. They sat down and young people thought, I thought they were real. They used to testify and weep and shout and cry and witness and all of that. Now they're quit. Now they're cold. Now they never testify. All they do now is murmur, complain, and criticize and blame the preacher. And our young people watches that, and they're getting a feel of that, and it's causing them to say in their heart, I don't want nothing to do with this if this is Christianity. And the other option is the world. I guarantee you, there's people not back tonight because of what was preached last night. It pinned their hide to the wall and they didn't like it. I'd hate to have that attitude toward truth. God's people are people of truth. God's people are people that says, Lord, if I'm wrong, if something's wrong with me, deal with me. I want to get right. I don't want to be in rebellion. I don't want to be in disobedience. I don't want to go in the wrong direction. I don't want to blur the lines. Amen. I don't want nobody to question whether I'm saved or not. I don't want nobody to question who I'm serving. Amen. But no, we've got so to where we're our own judge, to the point that we, when truth is preached, we can choose whether we want to receive it or not. But I'll tell you one thing. If I've ever in 42 and a half years preached God's message, God sent it through us last night. I'm not saying I preach good. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying God addressed a major, major need in every church I know. And because of the older men and older ladies that are not where they need to be, or even where they used to be, then that causes them to not be qualified or call them to an example to be able to reach out to the young men and young women, which falls down to the children in that passage and the upcoming homes in that passage. See what the devil's doing? He's putting a generational gap. The older people are way up here, amen, or way over yonder somewhere spiritually, and the younger ones are right here. What are we supposed to do? Who's supposed to tell the young women how to love their children, love their husband, be keepers at home? Who's supposed to teach them that? The world's definitely not going to do that. And so we got a big gap. We got a big gap between the elderly, the aged, and the upcoming younger ones. We got a huge gap that's empty of influence, empty of spirituality. And I promise you, God's not behind that. I promise you, the devil is behind that. And the bad part of it, I mean, I don't know if it's the bad part, but I couldn't think of nothing worse. Churches are not the least bit bothered about it. I don't know. Lord, help us. I mean, Lord have mercy. What, I mean, is this camp meeting, tonight, is it not made up of several churches? Is it not only made up of several churches, but is it not so that the churches will get something in this meeting that'll go back into your churches Sunday and the following weeks, the following months, and the following years and make a difference? Is that not what this camp's about? Every camp I've ever been a part of, that's what it's about. We come together, and that in itself is a confession. We are not where we need to be. We've got plenty of room to move up. There's new levels we can get on. We need to get more serious. We need to be awakened. We need to be shaken. We need to be, amen, we need it. And why? So that we can go back to our churches and have revival. If I understand the origin of camp meetings, that's what happened. They'd come out of the hills and hollers and everywhere, and they would come to a local specified place of assembly and have camp meetings. And almost inevitably, because they come seeking the Lord, they come praying, they come hungry, they come humble, they come honest, they come that way. They come dealing with disunity so they could have unity and harmony. And as a result, revival would move. Amen. And then when it was time, after weeks or whatever it was, they would split up and they would go back to their places of abode, and that fire would spread. Is that not what is supposed to be going on? Is that what we're wanting? I probably could ask the question, is that what is needed? And probably everybody in here, surely to goodness, would say, preacher, that's what we need. But too often, well, I'm still tore up. Too often, what we want is a lot bigger than what we need. We got them backwards. What we need, we don't want. And what we want, we really don't need. And we're raising the future generation of the church, and all they know is partial spirituality, part-time praying, half-hearted singing, church is a convenience, and we got a carnal youth group on the scene now. I know there are some exceptions, and thank God for it, and every young person in here ought to make it your business to be an exception. You ought to say in your heart, if ever one of in our youth group goes astray, I'm staying put. I'm staying the course. I may stand alone, but I'm going to stand tall for Jesus Christ. I'm not going with the crowd. I'm not interested in being popular. I'm interested in being pleasing to the Lord. I'm interested in being pure. I'm interested in having a testimony. I'm interested in having the touch of God on my life. That's what I'm interested in. Amen. God does not anoint talent. God anoints a life. God anoints heart. You know why David was picked as a teenage boy to be the next king. It wasn't because of his biceps. It wasn't because of none of that. I'll tell you what it was, friend. He didn't even measure up with his daddy. He didn't measure up with his brothers. He wasn't even considered in the lineup. But when Samuel went through the sons of Jesse, and God never did say, this is him, this is the one. And he asked, is this all of your sons? He said, no, I got one more. Didn't measure up. He didn't say that, but that's what was implied. He wasn't old enough. He wasn't old enough. He wasn't big enough. He wasn't experienced enough. He wasn't, amen. And Samuel said, go get him. And in walks a little teenage boy. Hey, Saul called him a little stripling. He wasn't big as a tick, amen. But he had a heart big as God, amen. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 13, he was a man. Even as a teenager, he was called a man after God's own heart. And God said, that's him. Anoint him. Amen. Young people, amen. You know what you need to focus on? It's not the beauty. Amen. And the makeup and all of that. I'm not preaching against it. I said, just don't major on it. Major on your heart. Where's your heart at? What's your heart on? Where have you set your affection? Have you set your affection on things above instead of things on the earth? I want to tell you, you can't hardly find a young person, amen, that does not have their love and their affection and their desires and their aspiration and their future plans all wrapped up in the world. They have almost no desires that are vertical. They have almost no love that's vertical. Amen. Amen. The camp meeting spirit, the camp meeting atmosphere that we want in the old time way, them old timey camp meetings. That is not something that's created here. It's what's created before you get here. Weeks ago, months ago, possibly years ago. The old timey camp meeting spirit. It's when we'd come together and those that are walking with God, all of us starts to get together and that all the spirituality of each one compiles together, which brings about spiritual combustion and it explodes, amen. And the power of God is manifest and there's a conviction and drawing power and sinners get saved. But I want to tell you what, that's not the case in most camp meetings now. We come together and we got to have some kind of thump and bump music, amen, to stir the flesh and stir our emotions, amen. Amen, you know that's right. And very little's done. Very little's done. God help us. Could it be? I'm not sure where we're going right now. Could it be? Folks, right here tonight, could it be that this is the final opportunity for Cherokee County? And Brother Rochester, I'm convinced with all my heart of the churches that I'm aware of in this county that's a part of this camp meeting, that if revival were to hit here in this camp, it will spread into your churches and it won't stay in your church. It won't stay in Cherokee County. It's going to cross county lines. Hey, it's going to cross state lines. I'm telling you, and if we ever need a move of God, I'm telling you, I'm not talking about a scheduled meeting. I'm not talking about starting on one day and ending 2 days or 3 days or a week later. I'm talking about God starting something that you can't stop and don't want to stop. The devil can't stop it, I'm telling you. It's spreading far and wide. People's talking about it distantly. Amen. Have you heard what's going on at Cherokee County Camp Meeting? Have you heard? God sat down. God's moving. Amen. People started getting right with God. People started getting right with one another. Amen. Sinners started getting saved. People started giving up things that was hindering their spiritual life. And people be coming from far and wide to get in on it. The revival I got saved in ended up going 7 weeks. I got saved on the second night. And it was standing room only every night. It was never advertised. No flyers handed out. That was back before Facebook ever thought about coming on, or I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't even have a cell phone. I tell you what I said before, and I say it tonight. I got saved when I was 20. If I'd have had a cell phone, a smartphone, I probably would have never got saved. I'd have been so hooked into the internet and the social world just like most young people are today, I wouldn't have given God the time of day. Because I was headed to hell anyway. I was on the broad road leading to destruction, friend. Amen. Lord, help us tonight, Jesus. Amen. Amen, Lord. Amen. It's on me. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with it. I'm talking about a burden, amen. What we heard last night, God sent that to us, amen. Amen, I want to tell you, God wants us to do something with that. Let's bow for a word of prayer. See what else the Lord have us to do. Father, I come in Jesus' name. Oh, God. Lord, this may be a now or never meeting. It may be now or never, Lord. That's the way I come looking at it. And Lord, you have enhanced that immensely, Lord, since I came yesterday and last night and after last night and through the night, Lord, and through the day. Just, oh, God. Lord, may we not settle for little. Dear God, may we not settle, dear Father. Lord, if we don't need revival, then surely we're in good shape. But I don't see where we're in good shape spiritually. Our homes are on turmoil. Lord, our young people are struggling. And Lord God, we need revival. Our churches are drying up. Our churches are dying. Church is falling apart, and we're blaming it on the lateness of the hour and the apostasy of the day and the great falling away and coronavirus and the Democrats and Republicans and foreign countries and all kinds of junk. But Lord, it's not that. It's our fault. It's your people, Lord. It's your people. You're looking at your people. Lord, you're not looking at the world. You're looking at your people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God, I ask you, dear Father, a spirit of prayer would fall upon this place. I pray that mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas would lead the way. That the young people and the grandchildren and the great-grands would look at those in their heritage and say, oh, God, God's doing something in Granny. God's doing something in Grandpa. God's doing something in our pastor. God's doing something in the church. I better shape up. They're talking about Jesus coming, and they're living like it. They're acting like it. They're worshiping like it. They're praying like it. Oh, God, oh, God, I need to get right with the Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'll move mightily in us. Move mightily upon us, Lord. Move mightily through us, Lord, we pray. God, give us direction and clarity. Show us what you'd have us to do. Lord, it's not about me. It's not about me coming and just going through a routine and, Lord, preaching a sermonette and try to stir emotion and hopefully we can get into glory. Lord, I believe, Lord, after what you said to us last night. God, I believe what you said to us last night. You letting us know that we're not even on grounds to have camp meeting. Lord, we need to stir in. We need to move in your direction. We need to draw nigh to you, Lord. We need to draw nigh unto you and get close to you. If we're going to have revival, it'll never come from a distance. Lord, if we're going to have revival, it's going to be at your feet. Lord, it's going to be when we're seeking your face. Lord, if we're ever going to have revival, we're going to have to turn our backs to the world, our backs to the flesh, our backs to the devil, our backs to materialism, our backs to any other attraction that would distract us from you, Lord, and move in your direction, God. Lord, please help us. Lord, we're needy people. God, I'm a needy preacher. I'm a needy husband. I'm a needy daddy. I'm a needy Christian. I know that there are praying people going in Rogersville, Tennessee, that's right now, while I'm in this pulpit, they're on their knees. They're praying as I'm preaching tonight. Lord, thank you for raising up those prayer warriors, Lord. God, that'll make it their business whether God moves or not. Oh, Lord, it's not their church. They're concerned about this meeting. They've never been here and may never, but, Lord, they're concerned about this meeting. Oh, God, I thank you for that tonight, Lord. Our burden ought to be revealed in our praying. If we don't pray, we don't mean it. Have your way tonight, Lord. Have your will and your way, Father. As we wait before you here just a moment to see what you want to do, Lord. There's no doubt in my mind, God, you're dealing with somebody, some that hadn't even made a way to the altar yet. God, you've got them hemmed up. Hearts beating out of their chest, and Lord, you've got their attention. They know it's a one-on-one encounter right now. Lord, please don't let them leave out of this camp tonight without doing business with you, because they may miss and pass on a golden invitation and opportunity to go to higher heights and deeper depths with you, to where they can be a greater influence and a greater servant of the Lord. Have your way, Father. Lord, may parents get awakened and stirred about their children. Lord, the children today are being raised in a wicked and ungodly world, perverted, demonic. No question about it, Lord. Demonic activities are unleashed upon this world, you know, in levels of perversion and indecency and wickedness, God, like we've never seen in our lifetime, but we're seeing it now. And dear God, if our young people ever needs anything, they need a spiritual home to live in and a spiritual church to go to. God, help us. Lord, help the parents, Lord, that would pour water on the fire of their children's spiritual fire. And tell them things such as, you don't have to go all the way, and you don't have to be so fanatical, and you don't have to give that up and quit that, and you don't have to get so serious. And many times a parent would think that and say those things because they're really jealous that their daughter or son is passing them up and making them look bad. And instead of the parent moving with the daughter and the son to higher levels with God, they're wanting to stay where they're at and pull the children back down. It's happening all the time, Lord. We need a revival. If a revival hits the home, oh, God, if revival hits the home, and it will never hit the home by accident. It'll hit in the home when daddy will say, and mean it with all of his heart. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Mama says amen. And Junior says amen. And Sissy says amen. No turning back. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you're doing in me. I thank you for what you're doing in my heart. I thank you, Lord, for disturbing me. I thank you for convicting me. I thank you, Lord, for it. Lord, I wasn't just preaching to the people last night. Lord, I was preaching to myself, Father. Lord, I was under heavy conviction last night, Lord. God dealing with me, Lord, because I know, God, I could be further down the road as a preacher and further down the road as a daddy, further down the road as a husband, further down the road as a Christian, and further down the road as a witness, and further down the road as a worshiper, further down the road in the Word of God. Lord, you take over. Lord, my experience, old time of cat meetings, that's what you'd do. You'd just take over. And you was free to do it. You had liberty to do it. People wanted you to do it. Because people were walking with God, largely, was walking with God in those days. But we'll never have this camp meeting that'll change this county, change our homes, change our marriages, our young people, their course, their direction in life. We'll never have that. As long as we're mixing and mingling carnality with spirituality. Mixing and mingling the world with the church. And if we're sorry enough to do that mixture, we'll always mix in a whole lot more world than we do church. Have your way, Lord. Lord, if you'll lead me, I'll try to follow you. But I don't have sense enough to know what needs to be done, said, preached. All I know to do and learned it a long time ago and don't ever want to forget it. Lord, I want to mind you. I want to follow your leadership. I want to know what you want. You're the one in charge, not me. You're the one, Lord. Lord, you're dealing with people right now. Lord, my eyes has been closed ever since I've been praying. I don't know who's doing what. I don't know who's been in the altar, who's still in the altar. I don't know none of that. Lord, that's between the people and you. But I know, dear God, that you're moving tonight. In spite of us all, you're moving. And you never move unless you've got a purpose. And you never move with the temporary in mind. You always move with people in mind. And you always move with it, with the rest of our life in mind. And you always move with others in mind. God help us, I pray. Lord, may the power fall. Oh, God, send the power just now. Oh, God, send the power just now, Lord. God, please help us, Father. Lord, we'll never have it if we don't desire it, want it, and crave it. Blessed is he that doth hunger and thirst after righteousness. You said, for we shall be filled. God, I pray. Whatever's standing in our way, whatever's standing in the way, Lord, of a mighty move of God, I pray you'd put your finger on it. And Lord, not just put your finger on it. Lord, deal with us about it heavily. And Lord, may we not be so selfish, God, that we would hold on to what's holding us back. May we release it in Jesus' name to where the Spirit of God would be ungrieved and unquenched. Have your way, Lord. As we wait before you, Lord, just a moment. Lord, help people to be obedient, Father. Lord, this would be a classic time for some wrongs to be made right. Relationships and fellowships that's been injured. This right now would be a great time for, Lord, just some mending and forgiving. And let's get this behind us and bury the hatchet. And let's focus on the fact that we're in the last of the last of the last days. On the threshold of the coming of the Lord. And what God is needing to do, we need Him to do it soon, quickly, right now, start tonight. We need God to be moving. It don't matter whose fault it is. Don't matter who did what first. It don't matter. Lord, let everybody in here that's saved take the Christian side. So let's gather in the altar and pray. Let's bow here at our chairs and pray. Let's shake hands. Let's hug. Let's make up. Let's get this behind us. If there is any of that in here, and I'm almost certain there is. Have your way, Father. God, have your way. We'll never have an Acts chapter 2 with 3,000 being saved until there's an Acts chapter 1 where there's one mind and one accord and people praying, spending great hours and days even praying together. Have your way, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Have you minded the Lord tonight? Have you minded the Lord tonight? To this point right now, to this point, I've minded Him. I didn't come up here to do that. I didn't come up here to do that. None of that. Y'all don't need what I've got. You need what God has. Amen. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Well, that used to be, back early in my Christian life, that used to be the prayer and song and cry and heartbeat of church people. Oh, God, send the power. Do what needs to be done to where it'll get a hold of our children. The devil's after our children. Y'all understand that? Does that bother you? Does that bother anybody in here? That perverted crowd are chanting? They're chanting, "We're coming for your children. We're coming for your children." You think they're chanting that just to say it? No, they're planning it. This whole world is after the children. You young people, the world is after you. Millions of children caught up in child trafficking. You tell me that the world is not after the children. Amen. Pharaoh was after the children when God called Moses. And Moses was spared. They were killing children. When Jesus was born, Herod was killing children. Are y'all listening? Hey, we better get more serious and spiritually protective of our children. Because there's an enemy after your children that you can't shoot with a gun. There's an enemy after your children that you can't stab with a knife or tie them up with a rope. The only way you can combat against spiritual warfare is with spiritual weapons. The Word of God. Prayer. The Holy Ghost. Spiritual choices. I can preach like that till I die of old age and there'll still be parents that'll Preacher, you just kind of overreact and you just overreact. Junior's a good boy. Sissy's a good boy. But the ones that's after them are not good. Some of the friends that they have are not good. The exposures they're having on the internet is not good. And if I'm out in left field, you tell me where their heart is tonight. Is it in church? Is it for the things of God? We've got some in here that is. Thank God for that. We've got some young people in here right tonight that I just described them. But not every young person in here has got a heart for God. The only reason they're here, you brought them. If you were to give them a choice at the house, you want to stay home or you want to go to camp meeting at 100 degrees? You know what they'd have said? Mom, I won't stay home. And you know what? They would have stayed home, buried their face in their video games and cell phone, caring nothing about spiritual things. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your child is following their heart. And if their heart shows no sign of God, but their heart shows signs of the world, their heart's already headed that direction. They're abiding their time. And if they don't have an encounter with God, when they get of age, they'll say bye. If they don't have an encounter with God, and they need to have that at mama's knee. Amen. They need to have that at the house. Amen. They need to have that at the church. Yes, sir. They need to see something that's real at the church. They need to see the preacher preaching with power and anointing and unction from on high. Amen. Amen. Not sermonettes to Christianettes. Just to get us through something to soothe our conscience and let us go eat. No, I'm talking about having an encounter with God. That's what'll change their life. That's what'll change their life. Amen. I'm telling you, I don't know all that God's wanting to do and trying to do in this meeting, but I know one thing. I'm in a meeting this week, right here, last night, tonight, that I'm consciously aware this is a divine appointment. Amen. Lord, please help us. Has everybody minded the Lord tonight? Is everybody minded the Lord? That means that God dealt with you a while ago, last night, this morning, through the night, whatever, and you've done business with God. You got it cleared. You've done dealt with everything before the Lord. You've got a clean connection with the Lord. Is everybody that way? Purpose in your heart tonight? This is life-changing. Hey, if I thought this was just going to be an emotional meeting, I wouldn't have come. And I'm not trying to be mean or ungrateful or disrespectful. I'm thankful for the invitation. I am. But what good is it? If I come, you come, we all come, sit through seven, y'all are going to sit through what, eight services? Huh? And you go home and nothing's changed personally? Nothing's changed parentally. Nothing's changed in the pulpit. Nothing's changed in the Sunday school class. Nothing's changed in your heart's desire, your choices, your direction. Nothing's changed. If you keep doing, I said this last time I was here, 10 years ago, some of you probably don't remember it. If we keep doing what we're doing, then we're only going to keep getting what we're getting. But if we're going to get what we haven't got, then we're going to have to do what we haven't done. If we keep living the same, on the same... Here, I was going to challenge you with this tonight. Is there revival to be found on the level you're on? Spiritual level that you're on. Is there any revival on that level? And I can answer that with another question. Are you experiencing revival on that level you're on? And if the answer's no, here's the reason. There's no revival on that level. There's no revival on that level. So what do we need to do, preacher? Abandon that level and go higher. Go higher and closer to God. But most people likes the level they're on. That's where Laodicea was. They was on a level. They weren't interested in going further, higher, nothing. They was content where they were at. Amen. Are you? If there's no revival being experienced on the spiritual level of choices that you're making, there's no revival on that level. You need to get off that level. How do you do that? By changing. By getting on an altar and say, Lord, forgive me for being stagnant and stale, and forgive me for settling down on this level to where usually it's a mixture of carnality and spirituality, and flesh and spirit. I'm going higher. I'm going higher. I'm leaving this level I'm on. Whether anybody goes with me or not, I'm leading. And Daddy, you ought to be the one leading. You're to be the one leading. Husband, you're to be the one leading. You're to lead your home. You're to lead that home. Say, hey, we're going with God. You're going with God. And I'm going to tell you, listen. You raise your children to where they have fistfuls, handfuls of the world. Raise them in the world and for the world. There'll come a time that they'll have zero regard for church or the things of God. We've got a lady in our church, Miss Tara. I'll just mention first name. She wouldn't care a bit for me to tell this. She lived in sin for years, and she didn't get saved. She was up in years. She'd raised her children in that life of sin that she had. She had no restrictions on them, let them do whatever they please. And she gets tore up every now and then still yet, and she tells me, preacher, if I hadn't raised my children around my lifestyle, they would not be where they're at tonight. You say, well, where is one of them? Her oldest son is across the street from the church, our church, up on Jail Hill in jail. The majority of his young years has been in jail. He'll go to jail, stay for a long time, get out. He won't be out in no time. Back in jail he goes. But mama, she's saying it weepingly every time. If I had not raised my children around the world and for it, no God, zero God, no God, no Bible, no church, no preaching, not just partying and living it up. And her children has gone absolutely to the dogs. And she's having to raise her grandchildren. And the reason she's doing that is because here's what she said. I've messed up with mine. I'm at least going to raise my grandchildren. I'm going to keep them from being raised in that hellish lifestyle. I'm going to take them to church. Amen. I'm going to take them to church. Amen. And some of them's already got saved. Hallelujah. Mamas, you better get involved in your daughter's life. You better get involved. Daddy, you better get involved in your children's life. You better not just let them go in their bedroom and close the door. Amen. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I trust them, preacher. I trust them. You better not trust their flesh. Well, we preach on everything tonight. I don't know. I know we need God to help us. Lord, help us. The answer, what we need tonight, is to draw nigh to God. Just draw nigh to God. You say, you know what? I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I'm not where I evidently God's not using my life like I want Him to use it, like He needs to use it. Listen, if God's using your life, you can tell. You won't be puffed up about it either, but you can tell. Because it's what you're wanting Him to do. You're wanting God to use your life. Who's using your life? You've been saved how many years? You can answer that in your mind probably. You've been saved how many years? What have you done for Jesus Christ? Amen. You've been saved, young lady, how long? You know in your mind the answer. What have you done for Jesus? How much of the Word of God do you read? Are you involved in church? Do you sing in the choir? When's the last time you testified? Do you pray daily? Do you have a daily time with the Word of God? I'd love to have brought some of our young people down here. Listen, I've got young people that praise more than I do. I guarantee it. Brother Jarvis, some of his church folk knows some of what the ones I'm talking about. Miss Hannah McCarrick. She ain't big as a flea. But son, she stands tall with the Lord. I'm talking about ever since she was 9 years old, Miss Jenny, you remember? She would handwrite letters to your children. 9 years old. Are y'all aware of what I'm saying? God don't save children at a young age and then wait till they're 30 for them to be spiritual. If you're old enough to be saved, you are old enough to start serving and old enough to start being spiritual. Old enough to pray, old enough to testify, old enough to pay attention in church. And Miss Jenny would tell me that she would get that letter, she would intercept that letter and get her Bible and go in the bedroom with Miss Hannah's letter and her Bible and have devotions with that 9-year-old letter. Amen. And then she would give the letter to her children. Amen. Don't give me this stuff, friend. Well, my child is just this age. Listen, I want to tell you, if they're saved, really, I mean really saved, I want to tell you, you can't hide the Holy Ghost. You cannot hide the Holy Ghost. How can you? You know what? Listen, you know what God's Word likens the Holy Ghost to in John 7? And out of your belly shall flow rivers with an S. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. Now you tell me. I want everybody to listen to me. Those of you that claim to be saved. Where's the Holy Ghost at in you? Where's the Holy Ghost at? I'd like to know that. Because when you get saved, friend, at that very moment, the Spirit of God takes up residence inside of you. And Romans 8 and verse 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. How can you hide the Holy Ghost? Oh, I'm saved, preacher, but nobody knows it. No, I'm saved, preacher. Nobody knows it. How can you hide rivers? Just right down there, what is that, the Packlet River or creek or whatever it is. It don't matter how wide it is or even how shallow it is. You can't hide it. When they come through here with this road, they didn't move it. They had to go over it. That's another way, a well springing up. Where's the Holy Ghost at? You say you're saved, where's the Holy Spirit at? I can't tell where the Holy Spirit is in your life, but I promise you if He's in you, you know it. And if all you have is a profession of faith, a claim, and the Spirit of God doesn't ever seem to be moving and working and convicting and reproving and conforming you to the image of God's dear Son, then what is it that's giving you assurance? When the Spirit, listen, when Jesus comes, you know who he's coming after? He's coming after those that have his nature. When you get saved, you have his nature, his life, and his spirit. And when he comes again, he's coming in where? Into the clouds. He's coming for his saints. The revelation, he's coming with his saints. He's coming for his saints. When he steps out and declares, come up hither. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. We'll be caught up. That's Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Me and Brother Jarvis was talking about this a while ago, and he mentioned the illustration of a magnet. You can take a magnet and run it across pencils. And they won't none of them move. You know why? There's no nature in the pencil that matches the nature in the magnet. But when you take that magnet and move it over what shares the nature, a piece of metal that shares the nature of that magnet, boom. Every time God moves in a service with his spirit, your spirit that's been regenerated will respond. Amen. It'll respond. Amen. And when God moves, it'll be like, Lord, we're drawn to you. Hey, I'm going to ask you something. Help me now. Please help me now. Where is that at in churches? God is here. He's moving. He's wanting to move. Where is this motion? When's the last time you went to church and as a result of being in the service where God was moving, you felt that pull? You felt gravity letting go of your feet almost because you was feeling an upward pull. Amen. Pray. Someone come on the piano if you would. Father, in Jesus' name, I've tried my best to mind you. Lord, to this very point, right now, this very moment, Lord, I feel like I've got peace in my heart that I've minded you tonight. Wasn't what I planned. Wasn't what I planned at all. Wasn't what I thought was going to happen. But I know I've had perfect liberty. I know I have had perfect liberty, and that it has not been a struggle at all to go from moment to moment to moment. And Lord, I know that general truth, most time it'll never be responded to. But whoa, when it becomes personal truth. When you're speaking, Lord, that rhema word out of the Logos word, business picks up when people will respond to you. I was thinking about Pastor Jarvis today when he said, no telling what would happen if all the people in all the churches would respond to God. If we'd respond to the Lord. God, we can't expect you to respond to us because most of the time we're going in the wrong direction in our heart and our affection, our minds, our thoughts. But Lord, when you send a message like you did last night that convicted us and has been heavy on us, and I guarantee you those maybe that didn't come back tonight is wearing it at the house. I guarantee it's laying heavy on them on the couch and in the recliner. But Holy Ghost, grant that to be so. Lord, let the move of God take place under the old arbor. Dear God, that'll go home with us. That we can't shake it. When we say you're dismissed, it don't detach us. It don't detach us, Lord, from what you're doing. Father, have your way, Lord. Once again tonight, once again, you're calling the adults. You're calling the parents. You're calling the young men. You're calling the young ladies. It's now. It may be. I don't know. I don't know the future. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I don't know. But we ought, all of us right here, we're all here together. It's not just about me. It's not about one particular church. We're here on this hill. We're up here under this arbor together. We're joining together with our prayers and our efforts of minding the Lord and receiving from God. Lord, we're putting our efforts together. And Lord, we ought to be looking at it as it could be a now or never meeting. Lord, have your will in your way, Father. Several's in the altar. Some young people in the altar. Lord, there's some pastors that needs to be in the altar. Some pastors' wives need to be in the altar tonight. Some Sunday school teachers, no doubt. Lord, they need to get in an altar and say, oh God, when I stand behind that podium in that Sunday school class, I don't want to just go through a lecture and give out some verses. I want to have a lesson, and I want the lesson to have me. And I want to teach with a burden and teach with tears. And I want to teach with a heart. And I want to teach having spent much time in prayer for the students in the class. Do it again, God. Do it again. Oh, God, we don't deserve it. We're not asking you to do what we deserve, because we wouldn't be able to ask you to do nothing. Except judge us. But Lord, we're asking God, if you could somehow show mercy on us one more time. Lord, if you could show mercy on us one more time, God. Oh, Lord. Don't give us what we deserve, Lord. God, don't mark iniquity. If you do, who will stand? God, may we seek your face. Have your way tonight, Lord. We thank you for what you do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Brother Melton's going to sing. If you need to come, do something with what God has spoke to your heart about tonight. So I can pray in my seat. You can. But your flesh would prefer that. You ought to get your flesh up and say, no. You've been in control too long. I'm taking your hide to the altar. I'm going to the altar. Spiritually, I'm going to the altar. Physically, if you're not able, I understand. By all means, I understand. There's something about getting in an old-fashioned altar tonight that'll do something in your heart that'll help you, I promise. How about the leadership of the church is represented? Whatever that would mean, deacons, elderly saints, preachers in the church, whatever. What about the spiritual leadership in the church? Could you come and pray? Oh, God, send revival. Oh, God, let our church be a refuge and a shelter from the storm that's coming. Help us, Lord. If you're not saved, boy, it'd be a good night to get in. That's right. That's right. Devil tell you not to go, just tell him to get behind you. He's not your boss. He's not your Lord. Amen. If you belong to the Lord, you tell the devil to take a hike. It's time that you do business with the Lord. You've listened to the enemy too long. Oh yeah, there's some mamas and children in the, some parents and children in the altar. There's some children in the altar without parents. Lord, let them get plugged in tonight. Lord, let their heart touch your heart and your heart touch their heart. It's time. Don't wait till Saturday night to get serious. Oh, Lord, no. That's right. That's right. People's coming from all over the arbor. This could be now or never, friend. It could be now or never. Lord, to be willing to make the sacrifice. Lord, to be willing to make the sacrifice tonight. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes, Lord. Send a revival. Send a revival that'll bring about repentance. Send revival that will stir our hearts with a permanent commitment to serve God the rest of our days.